a pre-recorded version of the WTK Roundtable on WTK, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. This is recorded, though, so if you call in, nobody will answer you.
Folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. We're live here inside the Emden Studios. Our friends down at Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor keep coming with the great deals as part of the Chevy Summer Drive. You can find them at 3515 Jackson Road in Ann Arbor or online at SuburbanAnnArbor.com. Right now, you can lease a 2017 Chevy Traverse for $87 per month with $995 down or sign and drive for $184 per month. For 24 months, you can get into a 2017 Chevy Cruze LT, one of the most fuel-efficient vehicles on the road, for $89 per month, with $995 down or sign and drive for $187 per month for 24 months. And last but certainly not least, 2017 Chevy Trax. You can lease that for $89 per month with $995 down or sign and drive for $186 per month for 24 months. For those and other great lease deals, make it on down to Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor and make the choice. Choices, guys. About making good choices in life. Certainly. When you're a member of a program, good choices. Choices that are reflective of the culture of your program, the standard that's set by your coach. Something is wrong down in Florida. They have 10 players suspended. One guy, it's the one guy, the marijuana guy, I guess, not to excuse it. Certainly don't want to excuse it, but I guess my point is you see that, but 9 guys and some credit card fraud. How does that happen? How do you have 9 guys and 2 of them be two of your upperclassmen, some of your more counted upon guys on the team?
Well, so this was a rumor that was out there that McElwain spent $70,000 trying to scrub all mention of him and sharks from the internet. So I think the kind of fiscal instability comes from the top. No, I will not let this drop, Craig.
My mouth is open.
Okay. Just don't find yourself in proximity to a shark then, because it's going to happen to you.
I gotta tell you guys. To me, that you have freshmen involved, I guess I could kind of see that.
Yeah, sure.
I kind of see if freshmen get on campus and they go all nuts and freedom for the first time and they do something stupid. But when you have upperclassmen involved, starters, guys that are supposed to be leaders of your team, isn't it reasonable to assume that those are the bad influences on the freshmen?
Yeah, if it's not obviously the head coach and his lust for sharks. This has been a really yappy offseason for Florida, like talking about beating the brakes off Michigan and all that stuff. And that seems to come from the top, too, because McElwain can't stop, shooting his mouth off about Harbaugh, about like antics and stuff. And I'm like, buddy, that is not the right approach.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Ed. You
understand? Oh, I was just going to say, didn't he say something about how, like, Harbaugh needed the antics or something?
To be around? Yeah.
Like, that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard, right? Like the sports media needs Harbaugh, not the other way around.
I mean, Harbaugh owns the summers of college football, and that's not because of Harbaugh. It's because sports is quiet in the summer, and Harbaugh's interesting. And it's not what Harbaugh is doing. It's that the media obsesses about Harbaugh because he is.
It is some of both, I think.
Yeah, but it's because it's not that Harbaugh is necessarily going out and saying, hey, I want media coverage. It's just that Harbaugh goes out and does interesting stuff.
Harbaugh goes out and does Harbaugh.
Right, and he's interesting. And because he's interesting, the media pays attention. I mean, ESPN is on the month they're laying off, 100, 120 people? They send a whole crew right out to Rome.
Yeah, but like, Harbaugh had to like know and approve of that, right? Like he's going out to Rome. He doesn't want that to be a secret.
Well, about Harbaugh is it's not like on a day-to-day basis, he isn't, twiddling his thumbs in his office being like, how do I get ESPN to send 100 guys to Rome? Right? Like he's thinking about football, right? McElwain, on the other hand, is mouthing off this offseason.
Thinking about
he's
sharks.
Got sharks. And all in the meantime, like, he decided he's going to start a redshirt freshman.
Planning.
Like, you got a lot of work to do on that team. He's supposed to be the offensive guy, right?
I want to spend some time on this shark thing.
Yes, yes.
Spend some time on this shark thing for a minute. So,
let's do it. A whole hour.
Do we know who really was butt naked with this shark?
It was apparently, well, it was definitely Jim McElwain. But people on the internet incorrectly believe it was a New York police officer.
That was butt naked with this shark.
Yes.
Why would any human being get butt naked with a shark?
Have you ever touched a shark? It's a very interesting experience.
Have you ever touched a shark?
I mean, if I touched a shark, I would touch it with my hand, not with my body. That's a whole different kind of touch.
I mean, I'm not saying that I would lay with a shark in a biblical sense, but it's when you touch them with your hand, it's like, wow, that's kind of crazy. So that's probably why McElwain did this.
You know what? I
there's
guess,
something wrong with Brian.
No, I'm not. It was McElwain. It wasn't me.
Just keep linking to the Sharknado theme song on YouTube and you'll be in good shape.
There's certainly something wrong in the Florida locker room. Now, I'm certainly not advocating that if, you know, you're a member of the team and you know another guy is, it has broken the law. I'm not suggesting that you should just cover it up. You know, you should be a part of helping this guy get off. But I am suggesting that if you're a member of the team and you know your teammate has done something criminal, that you go to the coach.
Okay.
That you go to Coach McElwain and you say, hey, coach, you know, Jordan was involved in that. And, you know, I don't know if it's going to come back, but if the other guys got punished, then, you know.
So you're thinking it's like a backup running back.
It might. I don't know who it is. But I guess my issue on that team would be, man, you went around the coach to the cop.
Well, okay, so do we know exactly, like, we saw this report, but it could be like there's an investigation, this guy's implicated already, and, like, the cops are, like, bracing him, you know.
Well, I thought the way this story read is that they were, it says, Florida Gators player implicated, a Florida Gators player implicated running back Jordan Scarlett and wide receiver Rick Wells in an ongoing investigation. It made it sound like he was kind of like a whistleblower kind of deal.
Well, you know, local news. I we'll see.
I guess we don't know the details, but it makes it look like they went to the cops and said, hey, you know, two other guys here, as opposed to, you would think that this would be, put it this way, if it was McElwain, if they go to McElwain, it never gets out. I don't think that another player was the whistleblower here. I mean, it's like the coach brings down some punishment and he goes to the cops and says, hey, you know, here are these guys. At least that's how I think it would go down.
Well, the crazy thing is this was on, like, Reddit, and it was on various Gator message boards before any of these suspensions came down.
Or maybe it's one of the suspended guys who said, hey, what about those guys?
Well, but he's in the investigation, and people are like, oh, you're going to jail, guy. And then he's like, oh, it was Scarlett. You know, good cop, bad cop kind of thing. You can be the bad cop.
All right, well, I mean, from a football point of view, I'm not sure this means very much.
Well, I mean, they do.
I don't
because they've got 10 guys suspended. 7 of them weren't playing in this game.
That's true.
Best receiver, their best running back, and the locker room has got to be in disarray.
That's the point, the locker room.
Finishing it is that, yeah, Callaway makes a difference.
Yeah.
Scarlett, they had 3 running backs that were all about the same. And so I don't think Scarlett is that big of a deal.
No, I don't really.
They got 2 other guys that are about the same quality at running back. You know, so what you've got essentially still is the same thing you had a month ago, or we thought a month ago. Your Callaway is out of the
doesn't
game.
Doesn't really matter who Gary is tackling for loss, right? It's just.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and the other thing is all these suspensions that seem to be on the offensive side of the ball, and that's really not the unit that I'm worried about on Saturday.
Well,
the defense is intact. The defense has been top 10 for however many straight years.
They're not intact. They lost a lot.
They lost some players, but like, I mean,
they lost a great deal.
Right. But it's also a program that has been able to replace a great deal over the last 4 years and be a top 10, top 15 defense.
It's going
to
be interesting because this is kind of like the Muschamp defense graduating. And then we're going to see like what Shark Guy brings to the table here.
Yeah. But if they came back with last year's offensive production. They weren't going to beat Michigan. Yeah. They're going to have to be a better offense than were last year. And they are not this. What we see, what it sounds like they're going to come to the field with, is, does not sound like a better offense to me.
Right. I agree. I mean, I think Michigan's going to win this game, but it's not like they have a ton of room for error. I mean, if Spate goes out and throws a couple picks, like, this is going to be a tight game. And it's really the defensive side.
Who's in a better position at quarterback heading into this game?
Well, obviously. I mean, they're starting a redshirt freshman, right?
Right.
I'm not trying to debate that.
Against a Donald Brown defense that is going to bring incessant heat in this contest. I mean, it's going to be unrelenting.
Right. Like I said, that's not the side of the football I'm worried about. It's the other side of the football.
The point of the game is to score more points on one side than the other.
That is true.
So, like, you should be worried about both sides. And then when you outscore
them. I'm not worried about it.
Like,
if
Michigan wins this game 3-0, that's still a win. So, like, I think
that is also true.
For the impact.
Any other truths you'd like to
say. The impact of losing the top receiver, I think, is a big, big deal.
I think when I look at the issues that Michigan, the question marks Michigan has, and to me the biggest one is the secondary. That's just my opinion heading into the season. That concern is mitigated by their losses, specifically Callaway in this contest. But then you also have a pass rush, which I know Florida has. That's a mitigating factor for my concern. And then on the other side of the ball, you got a veteran quarterback. And you got a lot of weapons at wide receiver that I think are going to be put to use in this contest. I look at the other side of the football. Sure, they have some weapons, but they don't have all of their – they have two of their bigger weapons or two of their most proven weapons that are out of this contest, and there's going to be a redshirt freshman quarterback as the trigger man getting the ball to the guys that are out there. I think it's not a good recipe in a contest against Michigan.
Well, but let's go back to one thing you said. So you're more concerned about secondary now than the offensive line?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Yes, I am.
That makes me feel not as good as I did.
Yes, I am.
5 minutes ago.
Well, I just think it's a bigger look at what you have coming back in the secondary. Now, I think they're long on talent, short on experience, and with the way that they put pressure on their secondary, the man to man, and it's across the board. You got to be able to cover. Don Brown, I sat down with him yesterday, and he was making a comment about Jamarik Woods. He said, "Look, anyone that's thinking that Jamarik Woods is a coverage liability is, you know, that concern is misplaced, because I'm not putting a guy out on the football field that can't cover, because if you can't cover, you can't play for me. Every guy in my secondary has to be able to cover." And so he went on to talk about how the defense is the defense. I'm not changing my defense because I have youth. For me, it's about bringing that youth up to speed. And if they aren't able to execute my defense, then that's my fault. Not the fault of youth. I was like, wow, man, it's a hell of an approach to take. But my point is, that means that I think we're going to see some growing pains from these guys on offense. Hey, man, I feel really good from left tackle to center. Big Mike, at the very least, is going to be a road grader. You can help a tackle, line up a tight end to the side, chip a little bit. I think they'll be fine. And you got a veteran quarterback that has shown a penchant for extending plays. I think they're going to be fine offensively. Defensively, man, in the secondary, I think they're going to give up some plays. I expect that.
In the first six games?
The question is, I do think they'll give up some plays in the first six games. The question is, will they grow up enough? Is it Penn State game 7?
Yep.
Will they grow up enough by game 7?
Well, yeah.
In order to win that game on the road? That's my big question mark. I don't think the issues, the mistakes will cost them games in the first six, could in number 7.
So both you and Brian are really optimistic about the game on Saturday.
Hell that's yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not. I mean, I'm
why?
Not. I
make the case by, for oh, why, no, I, should, no, why no. I shouldn't be optimistic.
Well, I'm not convinced our offense can move the ball at this point. And especially, and regardless of what's gone on with Florida, I agree with Ed. I think they'll put a good defense on the field. And so I don't think it's so axiomatic we're just going to move the ball against them. And I don't think they're going to move the ball against us either necessarily. I mean, plus, Michigan is playing a team that's all new. We're playing an all new, our team.
Who are you talking about?
Michigan. Basically a new team on, to some degree on offense, but on defense, pretty much so. And so it isn't obvious to me that
the defensive line is not new.
Well, yes and no.
It's not.
There are four guys who've played.
Yes, and played very, very well.
And played very well. I think that's the strength of our team. Mm-hmm. I think linebacker is probably going to be okay. I mean, I think, you know, we just don't know about the secondary.
Well, they're going to make errors, but you're also looking at a guy who, in Felipe Franks, who is basically a 6'5 version of Shane Morris coming out of high school. And, like, is he going to be ready? Like, in his first spring game at Florida, he threw 3 picks in 4 attempts. And he's progressed since then, but how much is he going to be able to read a Don Brown defense and not turn the ball over? Like, I think Michigan's going to have some short fields in this game because Florida's going to do Florida things. Like, yeah. They haven't had a good offense
in a while. Yeah, that's true. And I still think there's a reasonable possibility this is a low-scoring game. And low-scoring games come down to randomness, kicking game, which we don't know anything about our kicking game. I mean, we think
Norden
it's going to be okay.
Kick it a long way.
I think we're going to see Michigan connect on a couple big plays in this game, some deep shots. I think they are committed to attacking down the football field in multiple ways. And I really think one of the matchups to really watch in this contest are Michigan's backs and tight ends against their linebacking core. Mm-hmm. And one of the different approaches I think they're going to take, I think that they've identified, you know, you look at your skill talent and what do the individuals do well? And what Florida doesn't know is, you know, what does Tariq Black do well? What routes does he run well? What routes does Donovan Peoples-Jones run well? What can Chris Evans do in the pass game? What can Ty Isaac do in the pass? I think you're going to see Michigan bring guys in because they're going to use all these guys. And I think you're going to see them come in and show, at least they're going to run the plays that those guys have shown themselves to be proficient in over the course of camp. And I think that spells Michigan Tech. I mean, Drevno was kind of revealing. He said, you know, I think we have a deep passing element in the tight end game now. Did you hear when he said that?
I didn't hear that, but I believe it with Gentry and Eubanks. I mean, I would certainly think that's plausible.
They're going to go down the field in this game, and the question is going to be, can their linebackers cover? And I don't think they're going to be able to cover Michigan guys.
I mean, this is a Randy Shannon defense, so that means 4-3. That means 3 real linebackers on the field. They're going to play cover 2. I mean, you pretty much know that going in. They're going to get pressure with 4. Now, they can get pressure with 4, and that's a bit of a problem. But can they, with a pretty much new secondary, front 7, can they actually cover? And that's an open question.
Yeah. If we score more than 28 points against this Florida defense like you guys think we can, I think that is big reason for optimism heading towards the rest.
Well, I mean, they're scoring 28 points by racking up 450 yards, and they're scoring 28 points by putting up 300 against a bad
Yeah. I mean, if they look good scoring 28 points, they're moving the ball. I think that is a huge sign.
I think 28 points is reasonable. I think 28 points is reasonable.
I mean, it's going to be about the offensive line. So they could move the ball against Florida State because their interior offensive line got whooped, just destroyed. And you've got 2 new guys in there, and you have a sophomore, Ben Bredesen, who should be a new guy relative to last year. And can they improve there? Like, can they actually block guys on the interior?
Right. And, well, I mean, Florida lost their top 2 tackles, too.
So right, yeah.
We'll see what they replace them with.
The ends are going to be a problem.
Yes.
Can they actually keep it up on the interior? Like, what does that matchup look like? That's going to be the big difference. I mean, you know, 2 of the 3 guys who left really topped out at just kind of okay, maybe middling. And then Matt Magnuson was a decent player, but not like an outstanding player. And I think they can get better production from the overall offensive line. Because you got Cole back, you're getting a lot moving forward from Bredesen, and I don't know if it's going to be too hard to replace 2 of those seniors because they topped out at mediocre.
Right, they were just okay. I agree with you. 9:26 on a Thursday morning. We got to get to a break. Back on the other side, phone lines are open at 734-998-1050. More of the MGO Blog Roundtable when we return on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. We're live here inside the MDN studios. Our friends at Bullion Sales and Service, they're having a summer sale on Simplicity equipment right now. You can save $500 on the Simplicity Citation zero-turn mower with four-wheel suspension and a 61-inch fabricated mower deck. You can save $700 on the Simplicity Conquest Garden Tractor with a 25-horsepower engine and 52-inch fabricated mower deck. And you can save $700 on the Simplicity Cobalt zero-turn mower. I like it. With four-wheel suspension and a 61-inch fabricated mower deck. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn. Go to Bullion Sales and Service, located at 8530 North Territorial Road in Dexter. You can find them online at weknowtractors.com. Again, weknowtractors.com. I am adopting the zero-turn life. I'm going to get a Simplicity zero-turn. That's going to be, you know, my next toy. It's supposed to cut my
How much grass do you have?
I mean, I got maybe a...
Like 10 by 10?
No, I got more than 10 by 10. I might have a third of an acre.
Oh, okay.
Go check out the Webb Estate. You'll see.
Yeah, I don't have an estate, but...
I don't have any grass.
At all?
I refuse to mow lawn.
You don't even have a push mower?
Yeah, that's true.
We have no grass.
What?
We don't have any grass. We have like,
you guys
plants.
Like it that way, right? You got all
well,
that, like...
we bought it that way, so it was like, should we change?
Yeah, like rocks and.
Well, it's mulch, but I'm sure I can get like a mulch mower from Bullion Sales. I don't want to harsh your ad read. I'm sorry.
I mean,
they have everything. If you need to cut, right. If you need a chainsaw to cut a tree down, they have those too.
I could get a snow blower, right?
Yeah. They definitely.
Yeah, there we go.
They have awesome snow blowers.
Yeah. 7-3-4.
Yeah, so I could see Margo out there with the snow blower, not you.
Hey, my wife actually, my wife likes you.
The point of a snow blower is that the motive force comes from the blower. Anyway, let's talk about football.
All right.
One thing about these suspensions, and in the last 5 minutes, apparently there was a possibility of another one.
Really?
That's right. The rumor is an offensive lineman.
You don't have Twitter.
I'm divining this from the ether world. Actually, it was before I came. There was a small rumor that an offensive lineman is at some risk, although may or may not be suspended for the Michigan game. The one thing about Florida is, if you recall when we played them a couple of years ago, I rewatched this game last weekend, and they really gave up.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think they gave up in that game late in the third quarter?
Oh,
and a team that's got 10, 11, who knows, 12 guys suspended, you wonder on if things go bad in the game whether they'll just pack it in. And
I don't think the guys out on the field give a hoot about who's on there.
I don't know.
This is the first game of the year. This is like a statement game.
Adversity has
once you're down 45-0, like what's
right? And adversity has a way of testing your will, and certainly testing how tight you are as a unit. And you know, when you have teammates
ratting out other players,
telling other teammates to the cops.
I mean, how together?
I mean, I guess the only way that this, I guess that you get around it being a major team issue is if it's one of the guys that's already been, you know, found at fault, found guilty here, and they're interrogating him, and he says, well, you know, so and so was there too. I mean, it's conceivable. It's conceivable that in that circumstance that whoever this player is divulged something to the cops that he didn't divulge to his head coach. But
so the other thing that jumped out at me, I was reading like one of those articles where you talk to the guy at the other site on your site,
Bob Redman.
I don't know if it was you or someone else. I can't remember where this, but the guy started talking about how Martez Ivy, their left tackle, is going to be 80% for this game.
That was okay.
Yeah. Well, I haven't heard this.
And that was like, oh, that's bad for you. I felt like the right tackle was dinged up too. And I'm like, that's also bad for you. You're going to go with two dinged up tackles with no backups against Rashawn Gary and Chase Winovich.
Yeah, he said there's no way Martez Ivy will be healthy for this game. He'd be good enough to play, but he said at best he's 80% in this game.
I mean, the Florida's offensive line has been dreadful, especially in run blocking the last 2 years. They've been in the 90s in my rush offense rankings. That's an embarrassment for an SEC program, and if their tackle's 80%, that's even worse.
Yeah, man, you're going into this game, and it's like, hi, Rashawn. Please don't hurt me. I am at 80%. And like, Rashawn's going to be like, Nah, I'm gonna hurt you.
734.
One other thing I wonder that you guys might know about is this going to be a Michigan crowd or a Florida crowd? I mean, last year, Florida State, I think, pretty much dominated that stadium.
Florida fans don't travel.
It was in Florida.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But, I mean, I wonder if you have any instinct about
it. I think it'll be pretty close to 50-50.
I think that the closest it'll get to 50-50 is 60-40 Michigan. There, really? From what I've been told by people, so Michigan's throwing a big alumni tailgate party, and they have a lot of people. Florida has like a bar.
Go to it, they're a sponsor.
Like, exactly. That's where we're going to be for our pregame show. They're having a party at the convention center, and Florida's having a party at a bar. I believe that Michigan has sold much more of their allotment, and it's not that it's going to be that full anyway, but I expect it to be a lot more Michigan fans, or at least more Michigan fans.
Wait, you said it's not going to be full. The
stadium is not going to be full. Oh, I don't think the stadium or close going to be to full.
That is interesting.
And you're going to have a few extra empty seats because those things are going in Texas right now. But there's definitely going to be empty seats.
Isn't this when Brian Cook goes on his rant about neutral site games?
Dude, yeah, but Michigan's still getting $6 million. So they're not going to listen to the rant. Florida's getting $6 million. They're not going to
care. Michigan could get $6 million if they had a home game.
But in order to play Florida, you'd have to do a home and home. So no, it'd be $6 million over 2 years.
No. The economics of a neutral site game are entirely based on the fact that the ticket prices get jacked up. So you could just jack up the ticket prices yourself and have a home game. Like, that's the thing that gets me, is that, like, you know, the cheapest ticket can be like $150. It's like, okay, if Michigan were to do that at home, they could bring in whoever they wanted. They could bring in the frickin' Packers if they were going to charge that much for the cheapest ticket in the building.
You know, this came up today. Did you know that the New York Giants once played Notre Dame? And that that game in 1933 saved the NFL. Never mind. Okay. We'll talk about it another day.
College All-Stars have beaten NFL champions many times in the 30s.
I was never expecting. I mean, Cowboy Stadium holds 100,000 people. They were never going to sell that out.
Well, I mean, not what are we expecting? We're expecting 50, 40, 80?
I'm expecting 65 to 80, at the most 80. But I'm guessing closer to 65. That's a guess just based on some innuendo and pure speculation, but I'm guessing 65,000.
That is,
they won't sell the all the way upper bowl.
See,
part,
but you weren't going to get
much of it.
I mean, Ira just said Florida doesn't travel.
When was the last time Florida played a game?
I can name a stadium where you'd get 110,000.
But when was the last time Florida played?
This is an opportunity to play Florida, big money. They aren't going to sign a home and home.
I understand that they needed to do this because Notre Dame boned them, and they're just trying to get something done. That's fine. But there's no reason for Michigan to ever play in Jerry World again.
Well, I don't disagree with that either. I'm not telling you that I agree with the non. I prefer to have home and homes, but I understand the fiscal part of it from a school perspective, from a town and a city and a state or county and a state perspective. Losing a home game sucks, but from the school perspective, from their side, the finances work out. So for this game, but I'd rather have home and homes. I completely agree with that. And but you're not going to get Florida to come up here because Florida hasn't left the state of Florida for a non-conference regular season game in like 30 years.
Like, is Florida like
they didn't even go north in the Mason-Dixon line ever. Period.
We had like the Pac-12 division champ last year play a one-off in Michigan Stadium. Like
that was unique because Colorado has not been very good. You're not going to get a big name team in a one-off at home. You'll get the one-off at home against Oregon State.
No, but you can get them
in
a home and home, and that's much more valuable than
neutral
site.
We used to get Washington in a home and home.
We have Washington in a home and home coming up.
We've got Stanford in home and home.
We have Texas and Oklahoma coming up.
Yeah, UCLA,
Washington.
If
the SEC won't play north of the Mason-Dixon line, then they can go pound south.
Right, and Michigan, outside after this game, they have UCLA and Texas and Washington and Oklahoma.
So
Virginia Tech all set up in home and homes.
And they should never play in Jerry World again, except for the national championship several times over the next decade.
That works for me, or the playoff itself.
As long as they win this game, I won't be. It won't be a. I actually had fun when we went down. You know the.
Oh, you had fun watching that game.
I had fun when we went down to Dallas. Everything other than the game itself.
But they made a great time the last time we saw Florida play Michigan in Dallas.
I sure did. That was a blast, man. That whole weekend was a blast. 734-998-1050. Let's go back to the phones. Talk to the mayor. Mayor, did you make it down to the Sweet 16? Back a few years ago, back in 2013?
No, I had to save up because the following weekend I had to go to Atlanta.
Okay, gotcha.
But always enjoy the conversation. Not shocked that B. Cook doesn't own the lawn. You know,
You know, I'm not shocked there.
Wait, Al, I don't mow the lawn either. I refuse to mow my lawn.
Why?
Because I was forced to do it as a child.
Me, man.
I was forced to do it as a child. I refuse to. I will not mow my lawn.
I mean, I have a home. I live in a place with
it's
a mortgage.
Nice, it's a very
thank
nice
you.
Lawn.
Thank you, Craig. Anyway.
Okay. All right. I got three little tidbits. Ed, what is their numbers for their D against our O look like? Sam, what's the rundown on our new tackle, Elizio? And do you expect any packages to be put in for, like, Gentry or Eubanks
yes.
to expose their 4-3?
Yeah. Wow, he's been paying attention.
I was on it. I mean, I've had Florida as a top 10 defense last year. Probably a little bit of regression. I don't expect them to get out of the top 15. Michigan's offense was 56 last year. They should get a little bit better, but I mean, you got to give the edge to Florida's D on that side of the ball.
You know, I think that if you're around these guys enough, I mean, they're gonna often be bland, but if you listen long enough, you'll get some specifics. And when we had Drev on Inside Schembechler Hall, and he talked about what's different about this year's offense. One of the things he highlighted was he said, you know, I think we have a deep ball element at the tight end position now. And they're gonna attack down the field. You know, and obviously, you know, Jake Butt was a guy you go down the field with, but I think they feel like they have more than one guy they can attack down the football field with. You mentioned Zach Gentry, who they've talked about. Nick Eubanks for sure. Is a guy that they feel like they can attack on the football field with.
Bunting can attack. I mean, if they're playing cover two, if they're playing cover two, you got to run the tight end down the middle of the field.
Right? And watch for them motioning their tailbacks out wide. Mm-hmm. If it's Chris Evans or Ty Isaac and isolating a linebacker on the perimeter or man-to-man coverage. It's going to happen.
I said that was going to happen last year.
You were wrong.
I was miffed.
You were just a bit premature.
I was.
That's it. You were wrong. You were just early.
Right. Yeah. It's more dim, man. Seeing a thread.
You know, talking about scheduling, who scheduled Air Force?
Dave did.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Is that insane?
Yes, sir.
I mean, and I mean, it isn't just that it's a one-off game and that you've got to prepare for something. I mean, if one of our defensive linemen gets hurt in that game with their cut blocking,
yeah.
I'm going to be just.
Yeah, Air Force is on my list of, like, never schedule this.
Never schedule.
I mean, remember what happened last time. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the defense this time. Because last time, Michigan just left one high safety, and they put Kovacs in an impossible position. You remember late in that game, he's trying to get over to an option that he's got burned on, and then they throw a deep bomb, and Michigan is fortunate that the guy falls over after making the catch.
You know, I actually have some film on them practicing against it. I mean, they've been working on Air Force going back to the spring.
Yeah, I read that. I think you said that.
And so
what a waste of time.
They worked on it a ton, and they worked on it a lot in Rome. I mean, because you got to prepare. You got to start preparing for it, right? You got to start preparing for Air Force.
Well,
so I can't remember exactly – you know what they were doing. I have it on film. I'll go home and look at it and see what they were.
That sounds like some top secret stuff. They shouldn't be
734. Maybe I won't say it on the air. 734-998-1050. Let's talk to Eddie in Cali. Eddie, what's up?
Sam, roundtable. What's going on? Greetings from Cali.
Hello.
Likewise.
Question concerns the quarterback position. I know Coach Harbaugh. Last couple years, he hasn't really like to name the starter before the game, the first game at least. Would any of you guys be surprised if it's not Wilton Spate? I'll hang up and listen.
Hell yeah.
Go Blue.
Hell yeah, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, it's Wilton Spate. And there's no secret about that. It's so clearly him.
Here's what I can say, Eddie. I've always thought it was going to be Wilton, but I feel even more confident than what I said heading into the spring, where there was a lot of Brandon Peters buzz. I think what those guys accomplished, what most notably John O'Korn accomplished, is they made the leash shorter. So I don't think that, you know, I mean, Wilton can't go out and have an Iowa-like performance and them not take a look at what else they can do. So it's important to note, though, that the Iowa performance was an anomaly. That wasn't Wilton all last year. So folks seem to be emphasizing that performance a little too much. 9:46 on a Thursday. Folks, look, our friends at Golden Limo are going to take care of the crew here at Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. As a matter of fact, I just got a message from Golden Limo. They send you an email, a text message letting you know who your driver will be, when they'll be there. Driver will be here to pick up our crew of four, Ira, myself, Michigan Matt, Mrs. Michigan Matt. We are all going to caravan over to the airport, courtesy of our friends at Golden Limo. What that does is it removes having to pay to park in the deck, having to schlep all of our bags through the airport. And it also, prevents us from having to do the same thing in reverse. When we fly back, the driver will be waiting for us right there at baggage claim. That is the Golden Limo difference. They help you with your bags. You're guaranteed to have a great, safe driver, experienced driver. 25 years of service from Golden Limo guarantees you the best. That's why they're the executive transportation service of the University of Michigan. They'll be taking care of us today. Looking forward to it, folks. Golden Limo can take care of you as well if you call them at 1-800-300-5151 or visit them online at goldenlimo.com. Limo might be in the name, but there's only one limo in the fleet. SUVs, luxury cars, if you have a bigger party, a sprinter, a party bus, certainly a tour bus. They have all of your ground transportation needs accounted for at Golden Limo. You can find them online at goldenlimo.com. Got to get to a break. Come back on the other side and close things out here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. You know, I sometimes, as we were getting through this, these last couple of segments, I know Ed started out a little cautious with his optimism. Then it seemed like his optimism increased when we talked about Martez Ivey being injured. And now it sounds like when I told him that, hey, Don Brown's approach on defense is, hey, the defense is the defense. And if the guys are having issues, that this was his quote, and you'll hear it on Inside Schembechler Hall. He said, look, man, if the scheme is more basic for us, then it's more basic for the opposition. I feel like as the coach, it's up to me to teach these guys to the point of execution. And if they are executing, that's on me, the coach. We got to teach better. So it's like, wow. I mean, it's a huge burden to put on your shoulders as a coach. But he said, that's the challenge. That's the challenge when you have a young squad is teaching them in a way where they get it. It's part of what they were doing is because he got to talking about Mike Zordich and the young corners. And he said, I think that was part of the teaching process. He said, I think it was less truth and more motivation. His commentary about, hey, the corners and someone needs to step up and grab it and all of that. He said he's motivating guys. It certainly is working with LeVert Hill.
Sure. I mean, he's a guy who has all the physical talent in the world, but, I think you've brought up multiple times, people are always like, okay, can you be consistent?
Yeah.
And that's something that is often a question for young players, and hopefully he pulls through. He's a guy who, like, I'm pretty comfortable if you're going to run a go route against him in man coverage. Like, but he needs to be that guy when they put trips on one side and he's on the backside of the formation by himself. He needs to be able to do that.
Well, I'm with you. I'm confident. I think LeVert Hill is going to have a really good season. I don't know about the other corner yet. No, I don't know about the right. Other coverage options.
Well,
for Michigan.
I think the point I was trying to make is like it's a little concerning to me that Don Brown seems like he wants to play his defense without really looking at the personnel he has. And I feel like Harbaugh does not do on the offensive side of the ball. He's been really good about adapting to his personnel, seeing that they weren't going to be a power running team as much.
And
the way he adapts to matchups in individual games.
See, I think we have to make a distinction here. When you say adapt, I think there's a difference between personnel and experience. The physical right. ability and the experience that you get out on the field and that you can seize upon or that you can reference to go out and help you. His feeling is, look, the experience and the scheme is enough to go out and rely upon what they can do physically. So he said, I'm gonna coach my defense to what they can do physically. The mental part I can change. I can manipulate that as the coach. I can grow them up. I think that's the point that he's making. It'd be different if you had, you know, if you had spread guys that weren't capable of, you know, a power run attack, then you gotta adjust. But he's saying, I got the guys that physically can execute my defense. Okay. They just don't have experience.
Yeah, that's a little different.
Like, and if you look at this linebacker corps, saying that they shouldn't be blitzing is not correct. You have McCray, who's a terrific blitzer last year. You're bringing in Devin Bush. You have Hudson. Like, if you want to get the best out of these guys, sending them screaming across the line of scrimmage is a pretty good way to get that out of them.
Yeah, I mean, you got to believe that there's some concern by Don Brown about corner, because, first of all, you've got Drake Harris moving over earlier, and then this week you had Nate Johnson moving over.
Okay, they have a problem. Yeah. How is Don Brown going to solve it?
Well, my guess is that you're right, that Don Brown's going to solve it by doing what he always does, which was bring pressure and
aggression.
Right. And they'll bring pressure. Which limits the frailties you might have on coverage.
I don't think that they went to, do they need to continue to grow the depth in the secondary and the corner position? Sure. I mean, they got some young guys they're bringing up, but I don't think that with Drake Harris or with Nate Johnson, it was like, oh man, we got to have some more guys right now. With Drake Harris, how are they going to get Drake Harris on the football field and take advantage of his talent?
Well, I think it's the same for Nate Johnson.
And so it was actually Jim who went to Drake and was like, hey, you should flip. It wasn't Don. It was like, hey, I need a corner. And with Nate Johnson, I mean, you got Oliver Martin, who's risen to the fore. Grant Perry's had a great camp.
Nate Shanley.
Eddie McDoom. Nate Shanley. Yeah. And so it's like, hey, how can I get on the football field? Well, you know, there might be a clearer path on the other side. So I don't think that the cause and effect is necessarily how you portrayed it. Can they assist? Sure. They can be assets. But I don't think that, you know, Don was saying, man, I got to have some guys, send me some guys from offense. I don't think it worked out like that.
Especially if the deal is that it isn't the physical elements of the game, but it's understanding what he's trying to do. I mean, that's going to take time. And you're not going to bring a guy like Nate Johnson over, and he's not going to learn it in a week.
Yeah, not going to be there overnight. You're right. And then, you know, Drake, it's, you know, he started out camp well, and it's about avoiding the, you know, the bumps and bruises that come with camp. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see if he can work himself back into the mix now that the season is upon us.
I would just like to point out, like, I don't really have concerns about this game in particular for the secondary. And
give
Don
me
Brown's
scores.
Schemes,
give me scores, guys. Give me scores.
75-2.
28-23.
So you got him scoring 28.
No. Did I say 28?
Yeah.
No, I didn't mean that.
25-20. 20 to 10. I don't see a lot of scoring in the game.
75-2.
We'll see. All right. We are out of time. I just see Mark and Lansing is on hold. How about this, Mark? I'm sure our next host from Inside the Huddle, Michael Spath, will take care of business for you. We'll address your question. So hang on hold. Want to remind you guys that we are going on the road. The Michigan Insider is. We will broadcast live from Dallas tomorrow, and then Saturday, the KeyBank countdown to kickoff will open the season live from the Arlington Convention Center, site of the University of Michigan Alumni Association tailgate, before the season opening matchup with the Florida Gators at Cowboys Stadium. Pregame coverage starts at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. WTKA on the Road is made possible by our friends at American Airlines.
Better than